Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A 1-2, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes.
Good morning, and welcome into the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kappel and Jonathan Hood with you. So glad you're with us on this Deal Breakers Thursday. Still to come in an hour from now, we will cross-talk with Black and Abdallah. They will be in for Greeny this morning at 10 o'clock right here on the Home of the Bears ESPN 1000. So, Cap, we're talking about two tales. Well, yeah, we actually have the tale of two teams here so far this season. On the White Sox side of things, the Sox split with Philadelphia in the doubleheader. Losing the winning the first game 3-0, losing the nightcap 5-2. Okay, and that game, by the way, those two games. Hold on, Cap. We had a doubleheader Tuesday, and they had a single game Wednesday.
Correct.
With the Sox. Okay,
5-2 was yesterday.
5-2 was yesterday, and then the Sox split a doubleheader on Tuesday, 7-4 and 3-0. Okay, correct. So they lose a series 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
Other side, look at the Cubs. I said that. The only way the Cubs would lose against the A's if they weren't interested, if they fell asleep. And the Cubs are a juggernaut right now, running right through the Dodgers, running right through Oakland, coming back to Wrigley Field.
26-3 was the score this week in Oakland in three games. 10-1, 12-2, 10-1, 4-0, 12-2. Now, look, you beat up on a weaker opponent. They're horrible. They're literally horrific. I don't think they win 50 games. I don't.
It's tough.
They're the worst team I've seen in a long time, and the start they're on, 3-16,
yeah,
is the worst start since 1951.
Yeah, that'll be all for the A's.
The Philadelphia Athletics.
Yeah.
So, as bad as they are, you now come home, get 4 with the Dodgers, you get 3 with the Padres. Got your hands full here.
Not must wins, but those are measuring stick games. How good are you? Did well on the road. And again, hats off to be able to win 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers.
Now, do you know who Jay Cuda is? I think you follow him on Twitter. I know I do.
Yeah.
Jay Cuda is a stat guy. He's awesome. He is a great, great follow. J-A-Y-C-U-D-A. Mm-hmm. The MLB season as of today, or as of the end of the games last night, is 11.11% complete. So we don't want to jump to conclusions.
Sure.
He said, and if this makes no sense to you, some examples equivalent to how far along the baseball season is. It's the fourth quarter of the week 2 game with 6:40 to play in the NFL. Week 2.
Wow.
NBA, it's game 9 of 82. It's the first quarter with 5:43 left.
Yeah.
You're on the third tee of your 18 holes of golf.
Mm-hmm.
Third tee. You are on floor 12. Getting up to the top of the Sears Tower.
Okay.
So those are a bunch of examples. So I don't want to make too many rush to judgments. But as you astutely said earlier, you can't win the division in April. You can lose it.
No doubt about it.
The Sox could wake up if they lose, what, they got 4 with in Tampa?
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
3 in Tampa.
They're off today?
3 in Tampa, 3 in Toronto, then 4 here against Tampa, then 3 at Minnesota.
Okay, so Sox have today off.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. If you get buried in those games, holy bleep, like, whoa.
Well, since you led me here, and we got to get back to the Cubs in a second.
I love your passion about your team.
Well, I mean, it's the team that means the most to me in Chicago, as you well know. When you're a Southsider, this is what it is.
Like, and you grew up this way.
20 minutes from the ballpark. It's the team that means the most to me.
Correct.
It's the place I've been to the most in my lifetime as far as Chicago sports.
Correct.
Not the West Side, not the North Side, but on the South Side. For me.
Yes.
And so I guess my point is that what I'm expecting is for the Sox to make some wholesale changes here if they don't turn this around. And it's a big if, because I'm not saying that this is who the Sox are, but it sounds and it smells like last year and the last few years for this team. Could you imagine getting to the playoffs and then being 81-81 last year, and then this year, what's the big question mark is, well, you know, we're going to be fine because we want everybody to
tune in.
Just tune in and see what happens. But here's what's – I'm going to tell you what the storyline is. I can see in the future, Cap. I can see it in the future. See the crystal ball here? The crystal ball says, well, we got off to a slow start and we have so many injuries, so that's why we underachieved. I can already see that happening by the end of July. That will be the storyline. As the Sox got off to a slow start, and, well, we couldn't help it because of the injuries. We want everyone to tune in, but this is what they are. That's not good enough, Cap.
Agreed.
No matter the circumstances. No matter. You might say, I'm playing the results. Well, that's all I got, Cap, is the results. That's all I got. Then the results are is that this team's underachieving. It's not good enough. Simply put, not good enough. But I could see it now. Rick Hahn against the cold wall over a guaranteed rate. Well, I mean, we tried to make some deals. It just didn't work out for us. But I'm aggravated and we're all disappointed. But tune in. What? There is nothing to tune in for if you're going to play like this. That's all I'm saying. And so are the Sox this bad? No.
They have talent.
Yeah, but I mean, when do you turn it around? And this is not a La Russa issue or a Renteria issue or a Grafal issue. This is an issue where you don't have enough quality depth. Yeah, you're going to have some fall off when Tim Anderson's not there. I get that. But when you're trying to piecemeal it together, you know, with players at third base and right field, that's a tough spot. I didn't want to see Aloy in the outfield at all this season. Now he's playing some right field for you because you had to piecemeal the team together? It sucks.
Agreed. But do you feel as a Sox fan that there is any chance to turn this thing around? Because
sure.
I do.
Sure. But here's the thing, though. You can get healthy. Does that mean the season turns around? When Moncada comes back, will you get the Moncada? Do you think? Because this is supposed to be his good year. You know, last year, down year. This year, good year. Because it happens every other year for him.
Well, he just can't stay healthy. And that's what I just don't understand.
Well, the notion that you have not found a third baseman of the future by now says all I need to know.
It's amazing to me that he cannot stay healthy. I don't get it.
I mean, just a player that's not available is a player that you cannot rely on. Simply put, are the Sox this bad? They're certainly playing like it. And then when you look at the schedule, and schedule aside, Shay, schedule aside, the team does not have enough quality depth. As much as I like Luis Robert like the next guy, and Vaughn like the next guy, Aloy, Grandal, when you see the middle of that lineup, you say that should be enough beef. But then when you have a horrible bullpen on top of that to start the season, that also is the cherry on the crap sandwich. So, again, 7-12. The reason why I'm like this is because Rick Hahn's like this, because Kenny Williams is like this. It's one thing for me as a fan to be aggravated with the start, but they're saying the same thing at 35th and Vec. I can look at your phone right now. I'm sure some executives are listening right now that are probably not happy with the start because they need to put butts in seats early to prove to the Sox fan that this is different.
Correct.
But it's not different. So I'm sure those executives in high places right down here on 35th are probably aggravated. It's like, what the hell's going on? Why are we going through this again? And so what happens when you keep doing the same thing over and over again? At some point, you have to reimagine your ball club. Does that mean going tearing it down to the studs? No. But you have to look at this roster and say, the guys that we thought we could rely on the last 4 or 5 years are not available or not good enough. Simple.
Now, Ozzy, who hasn't been on for a few days, he's been on vacation in Europe.
Is he okay?
He's great. He's in Spain.
Yeah, knows when the season starts, doesn't he? I mean,
he took April. Took some time off.
Cap. Season started in April.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm just seeing my guy Michael Huff up there. I'm seeing, like, Ozzy? I guess he says they got a long season. I'll be around.
He'll be around.
Frank?
So Ozzy has made no bones about it. He thinks the mix of the people, not the player, the mix of the people has got to change in the room. He believes that. He has said it on NBC Sports Chicago post game with Chuck Garfine, which is just an awesome show. He has said it to us in the newsroom. He has said it to us at the Christmas party when I was standing there with him and his lovely wife. Gotta change the mix in the room of the personalities. They haven't done that. They have not done that.
Mike Clevinger threw 3 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs in a loss yesterday against the Phillies. Some thoughts from Mike Clevinger.
No, it's been some really trying times, but this resilience is where you build some character. So we can move forward from here. It's the sentiment throughout this clubhouse. I mean, everyone, the passion we have in here to win and compete is, you know, through the roof. It's just putting it all together. And I still believe in every person in this clubhouse. And it's still really early. This is a lot of baseball. That's why it's a 162-game season.
It is true. It is a long season, but 7-12 is at the start that I think the average Sox fan expected. Other side of town, though, let's talk about the Cubs, though, Cap, because let's just be honest. Let's put it out there. Even you're surprised at the start for the Cubs.
Yeah, I said to you before the season, opening day, you can find the tape, 82-80 was what I picked. Improved. I think my line was they're giving out free money in Vegas at 77.5. Did I think this team was going to get off to the type of start looking at their schedule? Got to go to L.A. The Mariners won 90 last year. The Rangers spent a fortune, and they are in first place in their division. No, I did not. I did not. Now, again, it's early. It's super early. But they have a vibe about them where they're fun to watch. Cody Bellinger's off to a really, really good start. Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner. And now our friend Bruce Levine reported on Marquee yesterday, they might be ready to extend Marcus Stroman. Like, all the things they couldn't do with the previous group, Jed's getting done if he gets that one done. He's got an opt-out after this year. He's pitching his tail off.
Yes.
So you get him locked up for 3 more years. All of a sudden now you're like, wow, Justin Steele. Go back the last, I think, 11 starts going back to last year. Mm-hmm. Justin Steele has the best ERA now of any starter in baseball. Any.
Think about that.
That's pretty impressive stuff.
So there's a number of things that impressed me about the Cubs. One of them is I think you've got your daily double.
Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson.
Absolutely. You got your Dernier Sandberg at the top right there because, you know, Horner can get on and Swanson is a good contact hitter and has some power, clearly. And so you got a really good 1-2 punch there. And then from there, Ian Happ. So I'm not sure what Chicago thinks of Ian Happ, but you know he's going to be here for at least a few more years.
Mm-hmm.
But just here's a guy here that is durable, can move around if you want him to play the infield, the outfield, DH. He could do those things, and I think that is a positive for sure for the Cubs. And, of course, the bullpen. We don't talk enough about them. You don't even have a closer in place necessarily.
You do not. Right now it's Boxberger.
My guy. I think that he should be the closer for the ball club.
Michael Fulmer.
Yeah.
Almost called him Philip. Michael Fulmer is probably best suited 7th and 8th inning.
Mm-hmm.
Alzolay, 6th, 7th, 8th inning. Now you're going to get Cody Hoyer back. He's coming back from Tommy John.
Yes.
You're not just going to grab him, drop him in, and go, you're closing. Especially in games that mean something.
If pitchers look at the Cubs and say, okay, I get the Horner, Swanson, Bellinger's up here. Okay, not all. Okay, here comes Patrick Wisdom.
He's hotter than a depot stove.
See, you love to be able to look at the lineup and say, oh, man, this team could go 5-6 deep at the very least and be able to get on base. So I like that. For a Cub, the average Cub fans bitching about Hosmer and some of the other veterans on this team, look, the team as is fine.
He hit his first homer yesterday.
The young kids will eventually come up.
Mervis.
I showed you yesterday that Mervis was trending yesterday on Twitter.
Correct. Because fans are like, all right, get rid of Hosmer and Mancini, get Mervis up here. You do not want to mess with the vibe in that room right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. And those veterans do play a key role in that room. You remember how many fans would call here? And I know Sylvie was getting the calls because I know I was.
Yeah.
Can we get David Ross off the line, off the roster? He's hitting 198 or whatever it was, and everyone in that room went, he's essential here. Then make him a coach. That's what they would say. No, it's different.
Yes. It's good to have a veteran in the room.
Correct.
It's always good. I certainly believe in that in all sports. NBA in particular, we just don't have enough older guys in there like Udonis Haslam.
That know how to win and know how to be a pro.
So, Shay, let's open the phone lines here this hour. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Are either of these things true? The Cubs are good. The White Sox are bad. Which one of these things are true? Cubs are really good based on what you've seen, or the Sox really this bad? We'll take your phone calls on that next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with you until 10 o'clock. Then Black and Abdallah will be in for Greeny.
Dancing Barry was here.
Thanks, Bear.
Remember him?
Yeah.
With the Lakers, the fan that danced.
Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2, Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6. Riding the Bears weekly with Jeff Joniak at 6 o'clock. Then we have NBA action as the Sixers take on the Nets. So glad you're with us here on this Deal Breaker Thursday. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So we're asking a question to you. Are the Cubs this good? Are the White Sox that bad? Based on what we've seen so far. And again, Cap, usually I don't even look at the standings until Memorial Day. Because it's so early, usually. I don't really look at, like, because I can't break it down. I mean, it's so early. But here we are getting close to the end of May, or end of April going into May. It's just a bad start through the first 19 games for the Sox.
Right, so I'm looking at the standings right now. The standings, again, as you said, you don't normally look until Memorial Day. But
to really take a good look at it.
Like, Tampa Bay is 4.5 clear of Baltimore and the Yankees. Boston is only 9-10, not horrible. They're 7 games out already, dead last. In your division, the White Sox are 4.5 games back, but they're in 4th place. You cannot afford to look up and go, oh, God, we're in 4th, 7 games back? Tampa's really good. They're 16-3. Texas, 3 clear already of the division. In the NL Central, that's much more of a tangled mess, except if you're Cincinnati and St. Louis. St. Louis is 6 games out already. So, again, I get you. You don't wait. You don't look till Memorial Day.
Yeah, I don't peruse it and really study it. I know the one loss record of my team and the Cubs, but I just, you know, as far as like getting deep in the weeds on it, like, oh my God, because you can suck yourself up to say your team is going to be the very best. Or that your team's just going to stink all season. I don't think the Sox are going to stink all season, but I'll tell you what. 7-12 won't get it done. It just won't. If they're 19 games. But again, it's the same excuse, though.
So if I told you that they lost 2 of 3 this weekend, but they took 2 of 3 from Toronto on the road, or they play them for 4? I think they play them for 3.
3.
So if I told you you go 500 on this road trip, would you take it right now? Because
sure.
I would.
Sure. Yeah, get yourself back in the mix here.
Yes.
But again, it starts with clean baseball. That's 1. 2, health is a big part. And 3, your bullpen's got to be better. I understand it's not an excuse. It's a reason what's going on with Liam Hendricks as the closer. But that's just one guy. I want him to be healthy and be back. But as Jesse Rogers told us earlier this week, the team and the bullpen should not be predicated on the health of Liam Hendricks. There were 4 or 5 guys that the Sox could have gotten and said, okay, we know during spring training Liam's going through a tough time. Let's find a closer. Just don't press Lopez into service. He might have good stuff, Cap, but I'm going to stand tall and tell you that Lopez is not a closer. He's miscast in that spot.
But
he is.
But you got to use him in that role now.
You could have been able to find someone else.
As a closer?
Yes, Jesse told us. Remember, he went through that list in the report he gave us on Monday. He was 5 or 6 guys that were available in February, and the Sox didn't go after him.
Now Zach Britton is still sitting out there.
Yeah, don't you remember? Jesse took time out of his report to give us 4 or 5 guys, pitchers that could have been in that spot until Liam Hendricks comes back. Sox didn't go for it because they like their guys. You got to fix that.
You do. I have no problem with Reynaldo Lopez being there. He throws 100 miles an hour. It's great experience for him. You're going to get Hendricks back, it looks like, and you're going to get Crochet back.
Crochet would be really nice, that's
yes,
for sure.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have put a big expenditure either in player capital, draft pick, or prospects, or money to go get a closer. You just got to get – Lance Lynn's got to be better. There's got to be. And you got to get more productivity from your lineup.
Once they're healthy. And then once they're healthy, what does that look like? I don't know.
It's a great point. Right.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Laugh at my pain. In Dallas, Texas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app is Justin on ESPN 1000. All right, Justin.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Cap Hoodie, I hope everything is good as always.
What's up, man?
How you doing? Honestly, I think the Cubs are doing excellent. I know it's still early, but they are doing excellent. It's good to see. I'm going to call it what it is. The Sox are bad. I watched, I think, two out of the games that they played against Philadelphia, the two games that they lost, and it was horrible. I do have a question, though. Do you think that since the trade deadline is in July, and pending, like, the outcome of these, the series that they have coming up with Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Minnesota, if they just do horrible in those three series, do you think that will give Rick the ammunition, give him, like, a kickstart to actually want to make some moves on in the trade deadline? I know it's just May, but do you think that he would have seen enough to at least talk to Jerry, like, okay, we need to get something done because this is unacceptable?
That's a hard sell to Jerry Reinsdorf.
Well, A, B, you got. We could talk, Justin, all we want about trades.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have a trade partner. Who's giving up a really good player in early May?
No, I mean, one way or the other. I mean, by the time you get to the deadline, if you're not any better, why are these assets still on the team? What are we waiting for? Correct?
Correct.
I'm just saying, like, one way or the other. If you feel like you're close, of course you're going to add on. Because you're trying to add, at least in theory, you want to add on. Or you can have your back against the cold wall at guaranteed rate. And said, we tried. We attempted to try that last year. Well, I mean, Cap, I don't care how much you tried. The Sox fan wants to see improvement. You had to add on there, and they did not. So I mean, it's just, it's disappointing because I feel like I'm saying the same things over and over again every year about this ball club. They can't get out of neutral. Remember when that window was wide open for the Sox to win the World Series?
Correct. There were people around there saying, we don't want to win just one. We want multiple. Multiple. How about winning a playoff series?
So hit us up on Twitter, at ESPN1000. Put that on the poll, Shay, at ESPN1000 as well. Are the Cubs this good or are the Sox that bad? Which one do you lean? So Max Scherzer is a guy that likes to, he's very bombastic, very loud. He's very animated.
And very good.
He's very good, absolutely. But if he believes something, he's going to let you know about it. You see this thing what happened with him the other day with Scherzer? He had some sticky stuff on his hand.
Correct. And so the umpires, after each inning, they're being more, locked in on checking these pitchers.
Yeah.
It's not just a cursory, yeah, you look for it. They're feeling your hands. They're putting their hand in your glove. Like, they're checking everything.
Yeah.
Because it's a crackdown. They do not want you using spider tack or whatever it is. And Max Scherzer, they felt his hand, said it was the stickiest they had seen in years. Years. And they ejected him.
Max Scherzer, he says that he's innocent.
I'm in front of the MLB official that's underneath here. I washed my hand with alcohol in front of the official. I didn't apply rosin. And then I grabbed sweat. When I then go back out there, and Phil Cuzzi says that my hand's too sticky. I don't get it. Yes, when you use sweat and rosin, your hand is sticky. But I don't get how I get ejected when I'm in front of MLB officials doing exactly what you want and being deemed my hand's too sticky when I'm using legal substance. I do not understand that.
Max Scherzer. Now, Cap, if you use rosin and sweat, mm-hmm. Is your hand sticky? Sticky like they're talking about?
I've used rosin. I used it two summers ago when I pitched in that league.
Feels like powder.
It gives you more grip to it. Now, if you have gel in your hair and your sweat and the rosin, it'll get sticky. But to the degree where, did Phil Cuzzi not say to the pool reporter after the game, I put my hand on his hand, and my hand stuck to his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Did he not say that?
He did.
Like, he had to pull to get his fingers off. It stuck doesn't like get pages. That sticky.
Was that Shay?
It stuck like pages. Two pages stuck together. This, like, how are they measuring the stickiness is my question. Jesse Rogers tweeted, our friend, last night, umpires in the Mets-Dodgers game concluded Max Scherzer's fingers were far stickier than anything they've felt so far this season, and in one ump's estimation, stickier than he's felt in 3 years of checking. What, they got a sticky meter out there?
It's the Velcro Jones.
That is the Velcro Jones, yes.
It's like Clifford Franklin and the Replacements. I mean, yeah.
So you think? Do you believe Scherzer is trying to get away with something? I do. I do. I mean, he said he went to wash his hands
with alcohol,
and it was still sticky. So there's something going on there. Gel does not do that unless it was baking in the heat.
Well, if you put like there's, I don't have hair, but when I did, there used to be. What do they call that stuff? That
you put VO5,
huh?
VO5,
pomade. That's it.
You use pomade.
Yeah, you put it in your hair, and you could spike the front up. Oh. Yeah.
The mousse, man.
Giant hair like Chris Black.
Oh, I thought like the Murrays. Like, you put waves in your hair.
And
okay.
I mean, that stuff can get super sticky.
Right?
Super sticky. So, was he using... And then, if he's using stuff on his hair and then using it on the ball, that is a violation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that that's just rosin and sweat. No way.
Did he have any biscuits and maple syrup?
He did not have any. He did not. Now that stuff will stick to your hands too. He did not have maple syrup. My God. Allegan.
Crazy.
Yeah. Maybe he spilled some soda. Spilled a little soda in the dugout and had to run back out there and pitch.
Him and the bear.
State of the art.
Say it with me now.
Oh, that soda.
No, he's talking about soda. He's like with the bear.
Yeah.
So Scherzer and the bear were having soda.
That dugout floor is like a movie theater. Can't even walk in there. Shoes are getting stuck to the bottom of it.
Scherzer still with the two different color eyes. You know
what did you think that was going to change?
How about that? Still, I thought, I'd do something about that. Still got the two different color eyes.
Yeah.
Him and Mike Nolan.
Now, I'm curious, does he get it's an automatic 10-game suspension.
Ah, typical Mets.
Does the league follow through with it or say, okay, maybe we overreact? I'm curious.
I think they make him an example. On you? Like, no sticky stuff.
If you suspend him for 10 games, that would be a shot to every pitcher out there. Well, they did it to Max.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitch said he had soul glow.
Soul glow. Love that.
Soul glow. Do villains make the NBA better? We explain that coming up next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Cubs, they defeat the Oakland Athletics by a score of 12-2. They'll take on the Dodgers tonight at 6:40. The White Sox, they lost 5-2 yesterday. They are off today. They'll get ready to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays are 16-3 on the season so far. And Tiger Woods underwent surgery to address his post-traumatic arthritis in his right knee yesterday. Surgery was successful, but there's no timetable for his recovery. NBA playoffs yesterday, the Bucks over the Heat, 138-122. The series is tied at 1. Nuggets, 122. T-Wolves, 113. Denver leads that series 2-0. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. It's Thursday, Cap, so you know what that means.
Yes, sir. It is Good Karma Wrestling tonight through the ESPN Twitter feed at ESPN 1000, hosted by the one and only Jonathan Hood.
That will definitely take place tonight. Dr. Britt Baker and Adam Cole from AEW will be our guests on Good Karma Wrestling tonight. Starts at 6 o'clock. If you're a wrestling fan and know of one, tell them to get to Twitter at ESPN 1000 on Twitter or catch the podcast Good Karma Wrestling on the ESPN Chicago app. The question on the table is, do villains make the NBA better? And I will say that villains make sports better. Cap, you and I grew up in an era in which there were some teams or some players that were unpopular and they relished in it. The New York Yankees is a perfect example of that. Even though when I was growing up, the difference between you and me is that when I was growing up, the Yankees were on the downslide. Coming off the 70s run, Reggie Jackson, those guys, the Yankees were not good in the early to mid-80s for me.
Well, that was also when did Steinbrenner get suspended for a year? He could have no contact with the organization.
I looked that up. But there were players that during that era when I was growing up that did not mind wearing the black hat. The Raiders embodied that.
Correct.
The Raiders, under the late Al Davis, wanted to be the guys with the black hats.
That is correct.
They wanted to play dirty, all those things, right? And so I have no problem with that because I think in sports is best when there is an antagonist and a protagonist.
It's yeah, if it's vanilla, why, it's boring. It's boring.
Yes.
You may not agree with all of it, but just it's more entertaining. Like if Draymond was playing tonight, like I'm going to watch the game anyway.
Sure.
I'd be locked in. Boy, I wonder what happens between Draymond and Sabonis tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like the sidebar to the big story.
Yes. Yes. And the NBA is filled with that, by the way.
Yes.
Filled with that kind of drama. For some, the drama is more interesting than the basketball. I like it all because I just think it's fascinating. Because it shows personality to the game. It's not just straight basketball. There's personalities there. But then there's the Memphis Grizzlies. So, Cap, I think that we have to kind of jog our memory of teams in sports that think that they're great,
mm-hmm.
but they're not yet. And the Memphis Grizzlies are young and defiant and in your face. And they'll tell you how great they are, even though they haven't accomplished anything yet. Good regular season team so far. And they have a bright future. I think it's a good team, strong organization. From what everything I'm told about Memphis, their infrastructure is modern, and they've got a lot of things going for them. But it's something about this team that rubs people the wrong way.
Well, they look like a football team. When I went to the game April 2nd, they were here mm-hmm. against the Bulls. I could not get over how big and physical some of these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Desmond Bane.
Big guy. Yeah.
I mean, he looks like a NFL defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Tillman from Michigan State. Monster. And then they've got Ja Morant and they've got Jaren Jackson. They've got a lot of talent on that team. But boy, they're physical.
But they love to put it in your face, though, Cap.
They do.
Including Dylan Brooks. Some say the new era Draymond Green. Well, I would say that Dylan Brooks needs to win a few games first.
Correct.
Well, you know, win some, not just win some games, but get some championships or win big games in the playoffs. So the Grizzlies beat the Lakers 103-93. The series is tied at 1. Listen to what Dylan Brooks said about LeBron James, because those two, I was watching the game yesterday, they're bickering back and forth.
Oh, man, was he getting right at LeBron?
LeBron usually doesn't say a lot, though. That's the whole thing. Usually he's just focused.
He was getting under LeBron's skin. You could tell.
Dylan Brooks and him going back and forth. Dylan Brooks says this after the game. Listen. Come on.
I don't care. He's old. You know what I mean? I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game 4, game 5. He wanted to say something when I got my 4th foul. Should have been saying that earlier on. But, you know, I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40. I pride myself on, you know, what I do is defense and taking on any challenge that's on the board.
He called LeBron James old.
He did.
And said, I don't respect anybody until he gives me 40 or someone gives me 40. Oh, really?
He's only the all-time leading scorer in the history of the sport.
He's old, he says. Now, I don't know how LeBron James is wired in that regard. Like, this Michael Jordan, there's definitely Jordan's going to put 50 on his head. No question about it.
Oh, Jordan would wake up yesterday or this morning after hearing that. He's dead.
Get out of my way.
Get out of my way. Get me the ball and just go get the rebounds if there are any. He's dead.
Yes.
And Michael would drop 50 plus.
I don't know how LeBron's, if he's wired that way. I know he's a tenacious talent. I know that he's one of the best we've ever seen. I don't know if he gets so upset that he wants to, because LeBron has always had the ability to score 50. Just doesn't. He's always been more magic than Michael.
Correct.
Because he always makes the sound, tries to make the sound basketball play. When people think that he's passive, I would say that he's trying to make others better, because he realizes as a basketball savant something that Michael didn't realize, and that is, I can't win this by myself. Michael tried to win games by himself. He looked around that roster and said, I'm not passing to George Gervin, Theus, Woolridge,
Enos Watley,
Kyle Macy. No, right. I'm not doing that.
I'll handle it.
Yeah, right.
But when they got him talent, he learned mm-hmm. to be more than just a scorer.
Yes. But look at this guy, this Dylan Brooks. Who are you? Now, what happens?
I can't wait for the third game.
Well, that's the question I want to ask you on Saturday night. So what happens? This is going to be simmering for a few days. That soundbite's going to be flowing around. He's old. I don't respect anybody until he gives me 40. What does LeBron do?
If he's truly in the discussion for GOAT, first of all, they win.
Yes.
The Lakers win the game, A. B, he puts a triple-double up.
He should.
25, 10, and 10. Hey, Dylan, that's how an old man plays. Right?
Nah, like, LeBron's dropping 40, man. 42.
Okay.
He wants to win the game. LeBron is much more of a facilitator. He makes the right basketball. LeBron's brilliant on the court. Makes the right basketball play. Mike would take over and go, I'm getting 50.
Well, Jay Moore, here's the question. Is LeBron someone that will get pissed at this or will look at it and say, if as long as we win, we're fine? I don't know how LeBron's wired. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. He does get pissed. And he's going to try to score 40. Plus.
On Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, on the whole team.
But see, here's the thing about this generation, though. It's about this generation, like the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah, he scored 45, but you know, we got another game. Whatever. They just throw, whatever, whatever.
I was just playing,
whatever, whatever. It's like that. Cap knows the stories I've told him. Like, you get on a team bus and you get your ass whooped by 30, you're on the wrong side of that score.
And players say that.
And players be like, he ain't that good. He scored 35 on you. What do you mean you're not that? They ain't that good. They're not? How come you didn't prove it on the floor? You had 3 hours to prove it. You've been through it.
Dude, we were pulling out of Ohio University. We got our ass beat.
Mm-hmm.
They overrated. And Coach McDougal turned around and goes, we lost by 26. What are we then? And sat back down.
Silence.
Not another word on that bus. It's a fact.
The young, defiant player. Like, the Memphis is like, yeah, he might score 45, but we still got more games. Ridiculous.
Ugh.
The Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day is coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Time now for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom and Matt Moore's Dining Gym. It is located on LaSalle in the north side of the Chicago River with the greatest patio in the world.
Jay Moore!
Yo!
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You meet a new woman on a blind date that was set up by your coworker. You meet her at dinner and you have a great conversation. You ask her to go out again, and then you find some out. She's got a broken leg. Would this be a deal breaker for starting a relationship?
Huh?
She's got a broken leg.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And she's got a broken leg. Now, if you tell me they're going to amputate the leg, well, that's a different discussion then.
Is it?
Yes.
Why is it different?
You understand what you're getting into.
Why is that different?
Why is that different, Cap?
I feel like, wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
I feel like what you just said is way more heartless.
Why is that heartless?
You're a bad guy there.
Are you keeping that thing or what?
You're a bad guy. It's an amputation different. The positioning, it's not good.
You walk in. She's already seated at the table. Oh, what are the crutches? I have a broken leg.
Yeah. Okay, you can deal with that.
How'd that happen? Oh, I was skiing. I broke my leg. I fell, whatever it is. I was working out. A guy got injured. Oh, how long are you in the cast for? Well, I'm actually having the leg cut off next week.
You're doing what?
You're what? Yeah, they have to amputate it. What?
So then what happens?
You have a decision to make.
Yeah? What's your decision, Cap?
I'm out.
Deal breaker. I don't get why it's different if she's getting the leg amputated. By the way, just to full circle this.
That's
so bad.
That's horrible.
Oh, God almighty. That's just the worst.
Can't be like, hey, I'm going to the car real quick.
I got to run out and get milk, honey.
Oh, my God. I'm out.
And that's all, folks.
And that is the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day, proudly brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Gorgeous day out now. Sun is shining. Sit on the best patio in Chicago, overlooking the Chicago River. Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle, and the Chicago River, north side of that body of water.
It's a goddamn shame what you just did there.
Why?
Terrible, man. Terrible for that lady.
Look.
I mean, I know it's just like having one windshield wiper on your car, but...
Right. Look.
You want to have two.
There are people out there, what a jerk they is. Okay. You do the same thing. You do the same exact thing.
Oh, is that what... Okay. All right. But
just
if
being honest.
What if she's hot, though?
I'm sure she's lovely. Maybe she's a great cook, too. I'm being honest. Like, if it, God forbid, happened to my spouse... Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
out.
Yeah.
You're out.
It was a good divorce attorney. No, I would support my spouse.
That's terrible.
But I went on one date. It's not like I'm head over heels in love.
Yeah.
Wasn't what I signed up for. I'm out.
Yes, you signed up for two legs at one.
Correct.
I see. The worst. You're just terrible. Speaking of terrible... So we read this morning when we came in that the Oakland Athletics, it looks like there's going to be a deal. They're going to move to Vegas.
Yeah, they bought property yesterday, and it is a binding agreement. So they bought the land. It's not like the Bears had the option yeah. on the land. They finally have closed on it, so now they own it. Oakland just said, no, no, no option. We're buying it. And they're refusing to further negotiate with Oakland like the Bears do with the outgoing mayor.
Yeah.
No, with Mayor Lightfoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're moving in every right to do so. They've tried for years. There's nobody going to the games. The place is a dump. There are possum in the stadium. Out.
I think that's the right thing to do. It's something that's been speculated for a while now. You just feel for the city of Oakland, though, because your Warriors leave Oakland to go to San Francisco, and now the A's are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I don't know how many fans will be picketing to try to keep the A's, but again, they just don't draw at all.
At all.
And I'm gonna pull back the curtain because Cap has not said this on the air. He did get the recap done for game two, but it was difficult for Cubs A's to stay awake because of the late hour
yeah.
and because of how boring it is to watch an A's game. No yeah. atmosphere, nothing's going on. It's horrible.
Horrible. It is truly an awful place to watch a baseball game from every measure. So,
Chris, do I have time to play this, Jay Moore? Do we have time to play this?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so Chris Mad Dog Russo blasting the A's for having a possum in their booth.
This is a disgrace, this Oakland A's. Last year, or 2 years ago, the bathrooms over flooded. There was sewer on the field at Alameda. And did you see what happened this week there when the Mets played the A's out in Oakland? The SNY broadcast booth, they could not broadcast from their booth in the Mets A series. Why? Because there was a possum who was living in the walls of the Alameda Coliseum.
Ew! That is disgusting.
Look at that!
That is
this is
disgusting.
A major league baseball facility. A team plays here. The Oakland A's have won 5-4 championships. And they got animals in the walls. When he's got squirrels in his room, he hires somebody, he knocks the squirrels out. When I had bats up there in Connecticut 1 year, I hired somebody, and I got the bats the hell out of there.
So Russo,
I love that guy.
Going after it, and that's exactly right. It's ridiculous. You get the A's out of Oakland if you can't get a possum out, clearly. We
yeah.
thank you for listening and calling and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Our thanks to Jay Moore. Our thanks to Shay. How about you and I do this again tomorrow at 7?
Look forward to it. Blessed to be with you, my man.
For David Kaplan, this is Jonathan Hood. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7 on Chicago's Home for Sports. So long, everybody.
Take that.
Deal breaker.
From Chicago, one leg.